voice boomed in laughter.
I like it.
Oh, dear.
Thea's voice sounded exasperated as she shook her head.
I keep forgetting that I am surrounded by children.
Here come the thunder lizards!
Zethus hissed with a toothy grin.
What's going on? Thorn called from behind Freya. God damn it! You snakes are too fucking tall! I can't see anything!
Constantine looked alarmed for a second as all of Helix's group broke out laughing, but quickly motioned to me. I guess I'm needed elsewhere, I joined in laughing as I pointed to Constantine.
We'll be back in a bit,
Freya said, stepping to the side to let Thorn into the group.
We're gonna help these thunder lizards get their buying materials.
Sounds good, I waved to the group as I ducked under Abaddon's arm, spotting Constantine quickly backpedaling with a vaguely lion-like feline adventurer following him nearby.
Fuck, finally found you, Constantine exclaimed. Jenkins asked me to find you. He's literally being swarmed by all the adventurers who want to get their weapons sharpened.
Oh, shit, I rapped my knuckles on my forehead, having forgotten that I was due to help him out.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Constantine shook his head at all the excited adventurers around us.
I had no idea people would be this excited.
You have no idea how bad the cold scar was.
The feline adventurer behind Constantine muttered, waving a claw-tipped hand in dismissal.
Know how much Graves' fucking stunt screwed us?
What was bad with Cold Scar? I asked the adventurer.
Oh, Lear, this is Leandra. He's a Toolshar? Cat people? Cat folk? Cat man?
Constantine frowned as he stumbled over the introduction, trying to find the right word.
Anyway, I was taking him over to Rit and Alduin to sign the charter.
Leandra? I smiled, looking at the lithe and slender Toolshar. A stark contrast to the Araxid that I had just been hanging out around. I was happy to see that Leandra was of average height, not forcing me to crane my neck up high.
Lion Man?
Well, it fits.
The adventurer smiled, revealing large canines as he indicated his tan-colored fur and bright yellow cat eyes.
Happy someone got that reference.
What reference?
Constantine looked at us, confused, before thinking better of it. You know what? On second thought, never mind. There's no time. Go find Jenkins before he starts hitting people. Last I saw, he was pretty overwhelmed. You two can talk later.
Okay, okay. I held up my hands, waving to the pair. I'm going. I'll catch you later, Leandre. In the meantime, welcome to Aldford.
Larian.
Jenkins sounded out of breath as he found me walking out of the workshop, having just spent the last few hours crafting a few sets of armor and weapons after getting all of the adventurers' weapons sharpened out of town.
Larian!
Jenkins! I saw the wild look in his eyes, immediately suspecting the worst. What happened? What's going on?
Larian!
The burly black man was wheezing as he spoke.
Oh, can't keep up with them. Gods! Those adventurers are possessed!
Possessed? I gasped, my hand going to Razor's hilt. Hang on. You don't mean possessed by ghosts, do you?
What? No!
Jenkins shook his head, sweat dripping everywhere.
They just won't fucking stop! A handful of them asked me if they could start building a large log house within the city. After listening to that cat's plan, I allowed it.
Okay. I said slowly. That cat?
Then there were three other adventurers talking about their workshop.
Jenkins looked distressed as he indicated the building behind us.
I heard them talking about building an addition to the workshop so they had more room to work. Then that fucking cat somehow hears them talking about it, and the next thing I know, they want to knock the back wall of the workshop out to build an even larger addition in the back.
Jenkins, slow down! I waved my hands in a calming motion at the distressed man. There had been a handful of adventurers making their way in and out of the workshop over the last few hours as they started to hone their craft, but I hadn't noticed anyone talking about the workshop. You have to tell me, what cat? I don't understand.
What do you mean, what cat?
Jenkins looked at me crossly.
I mean that fucking Leandre you just recruited. He's been in this village for barely 3 hours and he already has a huge log house measured out, with nearly 2 dozen trees stacked to dry. Now he's eyeing my workshop, I need you to rein him in.
Leandre? I repeated the name with a bit of surprise. Is there something wrong with the plans he's giving you for the workshop?
No, not at all,
Jenkins shook his head.
The plans he gave me make sense, but...
What's up, Jenkins? I asked with a bit of impatience in my voice. As much as I wanted things to run smoothly in the village, I had an endless list of things to do, and this conversation wasn't going anywhere fast.
What he's proposing for the workshop is insane!
Jenkins handed me a sheaf of papers with half a dozen sketches on it.
He's talking about making it into a 2-story factory that'll stretch nearly...
Jenkins, I interrupted the man while taking a cursory look at the designs. There were more ideas on these papers than just expanding the workshop. I saw sketches and notes that indicated quite a few more buildings within Aldford. This is the opposite of a problem. These are some pretty good ideas here, but they aren't going to sprout from the ground today. Especially since it looks like it's gonna rain any minute now. Jenkins looked up to the sky, seeing the dark, overcast clouds.
Okay, rain should slow them down. But what are we gonna do about Leandre? He's practically taken it upon himself to redesign the village.
Then give him the job and make it official, I stated, looking at Jenkins as if it was the simplest answer in the world. Oh, and pay him, too.
Give him the job?
Jenkins looked incredulously at me, before something in his head clicked.
Oh, if we do that, then he'll have to submit everything for Aldwyn to review. Then I won't have to deal with it. That's brilliant, Lyrian!
Without another word, Jenkins spun on his heel towards the town hall in search of Aldwyn, not even bothering to take the papers from my hand. Hey, wait, you forgot your... And he's gone, I called after Jenkins, before realizing that he had already moved on. I guess these are mine now. After folding the papers together and gently sticking them into my pack, I managed to make it all the way to the glowing oak tree in the heart of Aldford before Rit practically ran me down.
Lyrian, fuck, I'm so happy I found you,
Rit exclaimed with a panicked expression on his face.
I need some of your money.
Oh, hi, Rit. How's your day going? I answered back sarcastically while looking over the nervous merchant. Nice day today, isn't it?
Cut the shit, Lyrian, I don't have time!
Rit looked around carefully before whispering confidentially to me.
Remember that brokerage thing we sell? Well, I just ran out of the money you gave me.
What the fuck, Rit? I gave you 20 gold! I hissed back at the merchant with surprise. That can't be gone already.
Sure as shit it's gone, Lyrian, else I wouldn't be here.
Rit waved his hands in the direction he just came from.
I have 3 adventurers waiting for me because I didn't have enough coins to make change for the stuff they were trying to sell.
Are you fucking serious?
Like a heart attack.
Rit made a snatching motion with his hand.
If you want me to keep buying, I need more money.
Fuck, just take the whole thing, I told Rit, handing him my coin purse. Only buy leather, ore, and wood from here on out. If anyone's selling meat or herbs, that's up to the village to buy it.
Thanks, Lyrian.
Rit's expression was filled with relief as he took my money.
Okay, I can do that. Aldwyn told me replenishing our stock is a priority over anything else at the moment.
Rit turned to leave, but stopped as he remembered something.
Oh, also, practically all of the adventurers have asked about buying armor or weapons.
I've already managed to craft a few sets of weapons and armor, I told Rit, but they're already spoken for, unfortunately. I'm looking to recruit and train a few people to hunt down Graves before he does something to fuck our day up.
Probably a good idea,
Rit grunted, followed by a quick shrug.
I just wanted to let you know, you're the best crafter here right now.
But others will catch up, I finished with a sigh. I'll see what I can do, Rit. No promises, though.
Sounds good. Catch you later, Lyrian.
Rit waved goodbye to me as he ran off. Watching Rit run away, I couldn't help but feel slightly overwhelmed at how quickly just a handful of adventurers had begun affecting Aldford. New buildings were going up and long-term plans were being made that would definitely impact the development of Aldford.
How will things look when we have 60 adventurers running around through the village?
Huh.
I heard Freya's voice sound out from nearby.
Neat.
Are you kidding me?
I heard Halcyon mutter in disbelief. Turning around to face the glowing azure oak tree, I caught sight of Freya, Thorn, and the rest of the thunder lizards gazing upwards as their eyes followed the tree into the sky.
Hey, you all made it!
I called out to the group, ignoring Halcyon's exasperation at everyone's rather reserved response to the ether-warped oak tree.
Nice tree.
Helix flicked his tail at the glowing oak.
Is it safe to be standing so close to it?
Halcyon told us about your run-in with the Webwood Whore.
Freya waved at me while touching the side of the tree.
You guys have definitely had an interesting week.
Yeah, that's one way of putting it, I said with a sigh as I shook my head at Helix. Should be fine, standing close by. I don't think you have anything to worry about.
It feels rather pleasant on the skin, scales,
Xerthus commented as he stepped closer to the tree.
It does.
Helix admitted after a slight delay, causing the other Araxi to move a step closer to the tree. Have all of you seen Shelia yet? I asked, looking at Frey and Thorn while indicating the rest of the Araxi in their group. Has she bound you to Oldford? Thorn nodded, jerking a thumb backwards from where they'd just come.
Just a moment ago by the town hall.
So what's the plan now, Lyrian?
Freya asked, nodding her head at Halcyon.
Halcyon said you sent someone named Amaranth to go scouting for graves?
Yeah, I nodded. Amaranth is my familiar, actually. A puma that I accidentally bonded to the other day.
Wait, familiar? Puma?
Freya frowned, looking at me with confusion.
Are we talking about the same thing? The way Halcyon explained it made him sound like a person.
How do you accidentally bind with a familiar anyway?
Thorn added.
He kind of is a person,
I sighed, not really knowing where to start. And that's a bit of a long story.
Before that, what are you?
Freya waved her hand, dismissing her earlier question.
All of you already have to have your base classes by now, right?
We all are, I replied with a nod. And I'm a spell sword, a magic-based melee fighter with high mobility.
And I'm a mage,
Halcyon said before helpfully explaining the rest of the party's class choices.
Damn, we are so far behind,
Freya shook her head.
Even with a bit of hunting today, Thorn and I are only level 6.
We are all fairly close to level 7,
Helix chimed in, indicating the rest of the Thunder Lizards.
But our skills are greatly lacking. Our greatest skills are all unarmed combat, with some stealth and perception.
Xerthus and I have some magic skills, too, but we are sorely undertrained as a whole.
Thea motioned towards the smaller lizard man.
You two are magic users?
Halcyon said with surprise.
Hoping to be,
Xerthus answered with a shrug.
I wish to become a necromancer, while Thelia aims to become a shaman.
Awesome!
Halcyon looked exceptionally happy to have other spellcasters around.
How about the rest of you? Any thoughts to what you want to do class-wise?
Rogue or scout for me, Thorn replied with a bit of hesitation. Haven't quite made up my mind at this point.
Warrior most likely on my part.
Abaddon shrugged his massive shoulders as if it was an obvious choice.
I rather enjoy using my fists and claws,
Cadmus said as he cracked the knuckles in his hands.
I plan to take the brawler class.
Scout,
Mir replied simply, then looked towards Helix. How about you, Helix? I replied, looking at the giant lizard man who had yet to answer.
I am considering becoming a disciple,
Helix said slowly, as if embarrassed of his choice.
I would very much like to end up as a paladin or war priest.
A lizard man paladin or war priest? I was a bit surprised at the combination, but then I smiled and nodded empathetically to Helix's obvious relief. That would be cool. Have you thought about a class choice, Freya? I turned to look at the woman, who simply shrugged at me.
I don't know, to be honest.
Freya looked conflicted as she spoke.
I'm not really sure what I like so far. Part of me wants to be a warrior, to be able to stand up and fight anything, while another part of me wants to be a rogue or a scout, so I can sneak and finesse my way through things.
You can always do an agility-based warrior build, Halcyon suggested, then pointed to himself. Certain classes may have higher preferences for certain skills, and a particular way of playing, but I can still train my stealth skills as a mage. Hell, our warlock Caius just spent the last day training his unarmed and staff combat skills to help keep up when fighting things. There's more than one way to play.
Really?
Halcyon's words went a long way to alleviating whatever concerns Freya may have had about her choice. She nodded to herself as if making up her mind.
I think I may go warrior then and see where it takes me.
We all looked at one another in silence as we mulled over one another's class choices.
If we are to go after Graves, we must start training and work towards our base classes,
Helix declared, his eyes focusing on me.
You offered us training before. We wish to take advantage of it before we go out hunting once more.
Yeah, Freya nodded. We have a hell of a long way to catch up, but any pointers or skills you can get us started on would be super helpful. Hopefully we can catch up in a day or two without Graves trying anything on the village.
I shook my head. I can't wait that long. The party and I have to log off come Wednesday morning. I can't afford leaving Graves in the wild while we're logged out. What if I told you I had an idea of how we could catch you guys up faster? I asked the group as I reached into my pack to pull out a piece of armor that I crafted earlier in the day. I warn you, though, it's gonna hurt a lot, and you may die, on top of likely spending the rest of the day covered in blood and shit.
Well, when you put it that way, Freya replied,
her eyes lighting up as she saw the armor.
Tell us more.
Lightning flashed through the night, illuminating the wolverine's bloody maw as it reeled backwards from Freya's desperate thrust. Thunder crashed down from the sky, drowning out the creature's wounded cry as Cadmus leaped on the creature's back, claws sinking deep into flesh. Rain splashed into red pools of blood, streaming down from the creature's fur as Helix's gleaming axe buried itself deep into the side of the creature's skull. The wolverine fell.
Next!
My voice pierced the air, quickly followed by a flare of magic nearby. A white-haired dark elf shot past me, a snarling roar not far behind. Gracefully, he leaped over a large puddle, vanishing in between two massive Aroxi.
Wait! Larian! I heard a voice call out. Just a quick breather!
After this one! I called back as I leaned back into my hiding spot, hearing cursing as my answer reached their ears. A second wolverine thundered past me, wildly chasing after Caius. It didn't even pause in its stride as it saw the dark elf vanish, wildly charging forward. It splashed through the rain, intent on barreling straight through the two lizard men. Its foot came down on the puddle Caius had cleared and promptly fell forward with a splash as the ground disappeared under it. Lightning flashed through the sky once again as a trio of weapons descended on the creature, carving wicked wounds in its tough hide. As it struggled to stand, twin flares of magic slammed into its face, sending it reeling wildly as it instinctively tried to defend its eyes. The massive form of Cadmus leaped on the creature's back once again, this time grabbing hold of the beast's raging claws. Leaning his weight backwards, Cadmus yanked the wolverine upwards, exposing its vulnerable throat. Without hesitation, a blade shot out, stabbing deep into the creature's gullet, a spray of blood shooting out before disappearing into the rain. Slumping forward lifelessly, Cadmus let the creature fall, its body splashing into the deceptively deep puddle.
"Good work, everyone," I said, stepping out of my hiding spot and into the torrential downpour, looking at a small circle of illumination that Freya and the others stood in. "We can take a break."
"Is this what you all did?"
Freya asked while panting, water running off of her armor and weapon as the thunderstorm raged above.
"Just fight and kill nonstop for hours on end?" "Sort of,"
Caius had to speak up over the sound of the falling rain.
"Except it was a shit ton of spiders."
"Lovely,"
Freya replied with a sigh.
"At least the rain is warm,"
Thorn offered cheerfully, despite looking like a drowned cat.
"At least you all can see,"
Freya shook her head, stifling a yelp as fresh water ran down her back. Out of our group, she was the only one that didn't have any sort of night vision and was completely dependent on the feeble light spell that Zethus cast on himself. With the allure of a new set of equipment and a chance to quickly catch up on levels while training their skills, Freya and the rest of her party were more than willing to try out a power leveling plan that I hoped would bring them up to speed quickly and allow us to go after Graves before our forced logout time Wednesday morning. After giving Freya and the group their new gear, I conscripted Alduin, Constantine, Drace, and Halcyon to help me whip them into shape. I was intent on giving them enough confidence and skill levels so they would survive once we set off into the wild. Over the course of the next few hours, we barely let any of them rest for any longer than it took for Shelia or Thea to cast the healing spell, brutally passing down the lessons that we had painstakingly learned for ourselves as we sparred with barely any restraint. Eager to make up for lost time, Freya, Thorn, and the rest of the Thunder Lizards rose up to our challenge, never deigning to quit as their skills slowly improved against ours. Tempers flared and harsh words were exchanged more than once as we trained, but we pushed through it, intent on preparing them for the realities of combat as we had experienced ourselves. We didn't want them ending up like Graves' followers, flinching at the first moment of pain. Once I felt that their skills had improved enough, we left Aldford, taking only Caius with us as we traveled to the southern hunting grounds that had only recently become overrun with higher-leveled creatures that I had warned the other adventurers about. Now here we were, late into the evening, the rain that had been threatening all day having finally broken into a colossal summer thunderstorm. Water was everywhere, falling faster than it could drain into the ground, turning the soft dirt to mud. It was impossible to tell what was safe footing and what concealed a hole or patch of ground ready to swallow your ankle, if not your entire body, as the Wolverine had just painfully found out. "Hopefully no one gets struck by lightning," I mused to myself, looking up into the sky and frowning. "I also hope that Amaranth found some trace of Graves before this rain washed all of it away." "How's everyone doing?" I asked, watching Freya and Thorn both huddle close to the Araxi in an attempt to keep themselves out of the rain, while Helix and the others seemed completely content being wet. "How's your progress now?"
"Little more than halfway through level 8,
Abaddon answered cheerfully as if he were on a sunny beach.
"Almost exactly halfway through 8 here," Freya answered with markedly less enthusiasm.
"Good!" I clapped my hands in a spray of water as I stepped backwards into my hiding spot, checking my own experience bar that had been steadily building, despite doing little to help. "Just a few more, then we can start heading back." "This little hidehole is doing wonders for my stealth skill," I smiled to myself, seeing that it had risen 3 levels tonight, just having reached level 5, as well as my regular experience too. Not bad for just standing out of sight in case something goes wrong for most of the time.
"All right, here we go again,"
I called out to Caius, who had been more than happy to help pull creatures for us, not to mention that it was a good opportunity for him to work on his situational awareness and learn to move under pressure.
"Incoming!"
Caius shouted as something roared in the distance.
"Just a little bit longer. Then we can go home to rest."
Chapter 40. It was late by the time we returned to Aldford, the raging storm more than doubling the time it took us to return from our hunting grounds as we made our way back. We slogged our way through the rain and mud stoically, guided by Caius and my party sense, so that we didn't lose our way in the storm. As we made our way closer to Aldford, I sensed that Amaranth was still far towards the east, out of range of our mental link. It worried me slightly that he hadn't returned, but at the same time I knew that the cat would be loath to travel through a raging storm and get itself wet unless it absolutely had to. Hopefully once the rain broke he would begin making his way home with some news to share. Crossing into Aldford, we were greeted by a pair of militiamen, along with a pair of dwarven adventurers that had agreed to take a night watch. Both adventurers seemed enraptured by the summer storm, content to watch the lightning play across the sky as they maintained their vigil, ensuring no one snuck into Aldford using the cover of the storm. Eager to reach the town hall and finally take off our waterlogged armor, we sped through the sleepy village, quickly pushing open the heavy doors and taking shelter inside. Heated voices and murmuring greeted our ears as we stepped inside, the slam of the door catching everyone's attention. "What's going on?" I called out, seeing dozens of eyes upon me, a wide range of emotion between each of them. The majority that looked at me were torn between concern and anger. What the hell happened while I was out? It seemed like nearly all of the adventurers had taken our offer to join Aldford and now found themselves huddling inside the town hall to keep away from the storm. "Lyrian!" I heard Constantine's voice call out from the other side of the crowd. "Come on, everyone, let him through!" The crowd of adventurers pushed away from one another, giving me some space to walk towards the other side of the room where the rest of the party waited. I noted a pale elf dressed in a ragged thread sack sitting on a chair, looking out at everyone with concern. Another half-elf adventurer I hadn't met before stood idly by to one side, with his arms crossed over his chest, an angry expression on his face. "That's one of Graves' scouts in the chair," I frowned as I moved my dripping self across the room, trailing a small puddle behind me. Walking up to Constantine, I nodded to him in greeting. "So, catch me up?" Constantine sighed before starting, shaking his head with frustration.
"Two separate problems, kind of."
"Of course there are. Why would I assume things start being simple now?" I muttered sarcastically before thumbing my wet hand towards the half-elf. "How about we start with that angry-looking adventurer with the crossed arms?"
"His name is Cyril,"
Constantine spoke as he waved the adventurer over.
"He and a few of his friends were among the first to join Aldford this morning and immediately went out hunting. He just spawned back here a couple of hours ago and started telling us that his friends had been captured by goblins and Graves' adventurers working together."
"Fuck," I hissed to myself, turning to acknowledge Cyril as he approached.
"Okay, Cyril, Constantine just gave me an outline of what happened. Walk me through it."
Sure,
Cyril stuttered, speaking hesitantly as he looked me over. Whatever attitude the half-elf seemed to have earlier had quickly burned away now that he was talking to me.
"Where should I start?"
"Wherever is best," I replied softly, trying not to consciously intimidate the adventurer, but also wanting him to hurry up. "Constantine said you left Aldford this morning after being soulbound here. Did you go straight east?"
"No, well, not at first. The four of us actually went north towards Crater Lake."
Cyril paused for a moment to take a deep breath before continuing.
"We were pretty excited to be free this morning, and we wanted to make up for lost leveling time."
I nodded, completely understanding that motivation. "Okay."
"We hunted for a bit through Crater Lake, and after reaching level 6, we decided to try out the Webwood,"
Cyril continued, glancing up at the Webwood Queen's skull on the wall.
"We got a fair amount of experience hunting the spiders, but after hitting level 7, we were tired of their poison and decided to go exploring for a better hunting place. We had gone pretty far northwest by that point, and knew we'd have to take the roundabout route to get to a higher elevation,"
Cyril explained with a shrug.
"So we decided to make our way east, out of the crater, then angle back towards Aldford."
"Is that when you ran into the goblins?"
I asked with a frown. Based on what Cyril had told me so far, they hadn't really gone that far from Aldford, nor that far east if they hugged the edges of Crater Lake.
No, Cyril said hesitantly. That was still fairly early in the day, and the storm hadn't started yet. After reaching the northeastern edge of the crater, the forest cleared away into a huge plain filled with creatures.
Cyril shook his head.
I don't know if you've explored that far.
I shook my head. No, not yet. We've only taken the most direct route to the Webwood. We haven't gone in that direction at all.
I see. Well, it's kind of a higher-leveled version of this area, ranging from level 6 to 10.
Cyril waved his hand in a circle to indicate the outer edges of Aldford.
Practically every step we took, we found snakes, beetles, or other critters. We even saw a bear in the distance.
Good to know. I nodded at the half-elf, hoping he would get to the point a bit faster. How about we jump ahead to the goblins? When did that happen, and where were you?
The goblins happened a few hours later, once it started to storm, Cyril quickly answered. We were caught out in the middle of the plains hunting when it started to rain, and quickly ran towards the tree line towards the south to take shelter. We made it into the trees without getting too wet, but we barely had enough time to catch our breath before the goblins attacked, Cyril said. Over a dozen of them came charging out of nowhere, with a handful of them dragging nets between them. I didn't even have a chance to move before I was tangled up in one.
I think they may have been watching them, Constantine told me.
Yeah, while the plains do have a few small hills here and there, it's largely flat, with waist-high grass everywhere, Cyril explained, indicating the height of the grass against his body. In hindsight, it would be easy for anyone to hide in the tree line and have a clear sight of anything for a mile or two away, probably even further if they climbed one of the trees.
If they were so intent on capturing you, how did you end up dying? I asked with suspicion.
With how many goblins that attacked us, we knew pretty quickly that we were fucked. I saw one of my other friends get caught in a net seconds after I fell to the ground, Cyril explained with a slightly haunted look on his face.
Jordan, one of my friends, must have remembered what you said about the goblins, because one of the last things I remember him doing was stabbing me in the neck.
Hold on, your friend attacked you? I exclaimed with surprise, seeing Constantine nod with a grim face. Why?
Because he wanted me to get back here and tell you what happened.
Cyril visibly flinched at the memory of what happened.
He didn't kill me on the first stab, though, which gave me enough time to see a half-orc and a handful of other adventurers come running out of the woods, shouting for someone to stop Jordan, but they were all too slow.
Fuck. I don't know if I would be willing or even able to kill one of my friends. It's one thing to spar, another to brutally murder them, even if they don't die for real. My mouth was open, and I was at a complete loss for words for a moment before I finally managed to reply, "You recognize any of them?"
"You better believe I did," Cyril scowled as he spoke. "The half-orc was Carver."
All of the adventurers in the hall, who had been calmly listening up to this point, now jeered with anger. I even noticed the scout in the chair wincing as the name was mentioned.
"You saw Carver?"
Freya's voice echoed through the room as she and the rest of her party bullied their way through the crowd.
"It was him,"
Cyril stuttered, taken aback at having so many people shouting.
"I'm sure of it."
"Who's Carver?" I asked Constantine, just to see him shrug with confusion.
"Freya, who's Carver?"
"Carver is a broken man,"
Freya's voice was laced with anger.
"Graves may have been a colossal asshole and completely selfish, but there was a reason why he did things. Carver, on the other hand, is a sociopath,"
Helix hissed, quickly followed by words of agreement from the adventurers in the hall.
"He tormented people for his own amusement.
He extorted food and supplies from anyone and everyone he could," Thorn added. "If you so much as looked at him the wrong way, he'd shank you just once and walk away."
"Or hobble you so you couldn't walk,"
Cyril said softly,
"which would then get you beaten once you started to fall behind."
"He paid attention to who could and couldn't regenerate."
Freya's fists were clenched as she spoke. If he noticed you ran out of food, he would find you and hurt you, giving you a wound that would always be there, day after day.
I see, I whispered after a moment of silence, feeling the anger in the room beginning to boil. I had only seen a small piece of everyone's experience in getting here to Aldford. I couldn't imagine surviving in an environment like that day after day. Is there anything else you can tell us about the goblins?
It all happened so fast, I really didn't notice anything else.
Cyril shook his head.
All that I have in my combat log is that I was immobilized by a level 7 goblin stalker.
Well, at least they aren't a higher level than us,
Constantine commented hopefully. Are you still grouped up with your friends? Can you tell where they are? Cyril nodded as he pointed to the east.
Yeah, we're still grouped, and I can feel that they're over that way somewhere, but I'm not quite sure how far.
We'll go looking for them. Right, Lyrian?
Freya asked me.
And try to rescue them?
And maybe kill Carver,
Helix added hopefully. The two questions caused the full attention of all the adventurers in the town hall to fall on me, everyone falling silent as they held their breaths for my answer. Yeah, of course, I answered with a nod, feeling a sense of relief wash over the room. We all signed up to help one another in time of need.
Thank you, Lyrian, Cyril said earnestly. Though I'm not sure why the goblins would be willing to work with Carver, or how Graves managed to strike a deal.
Do you think there are other players? Sierra entered the conversation. Goblin players?
I hadn't considered that, I whispered softly, looking towards Cyril.
I don't know,
the adventurer replied with a shrug.
Like I said, I only have the logs for the one goblin that netted me.
Damn, I cursed. The last thing we needed was to have Graves pairing up with an unknown amount of goblins, especially since they've already proven to be hostile towards Aldford and practically everyone else that wandered through this area. Hang on. My thoughts ground to a halt as that realization crossed my mind.
How the fuck did Graves manage to get the cooperation of the goblins in the first place?
I grunted. The goblins haven't exactly been all that welcoming to anyone that's crossed their paths.
Like our expedition,
Natasha commented softly, standing beside a morose-looking Donovan.
Or Aldford,
Aldwyn added heavily, his eyes flitting to scrapes and scratches around the town hall that still lingered from the goblins' attack last week. The scout hesitantly spoke up with a small voice.
It could be his quest.
His quest? I asked, watching the scout shrink under the combined gaze of all the adventurers in the room. We should be doing this somewhere private. I tried to keep my face impassive as I made eye contact with the scout, trying to ignore all the other adventurers in the room. But we literally have no comfortable place to stick everyone, short of sending them out into the storm. If we did that, though, they'd all think we didn't trust them.
What do you mean?
Sierra took a step towards the scout.
I thought he needed to take Aldford, along with all that slave bullshit he subjected everyone to. How do goblins have anything to do with his quest?
Well, you see,
the scout started off nervously.
The tomb that Graves found his armor and the quest in was, Nefarian.
So? I looked at the scout, motioning for him to continue.
Lear. Iberia is a Nefarian ruin, remember?
Sierra whispered to me.
Both the orcs and the goblins revere the Nefar. That's how the war started.
Shit, right. I forgot about that. I rubbed my head, realizing that exhaustion was starting to set in.
She's right,
the scout nodded.
The tomb wasn't anything excitingly grand. It looked like the king was pretty hastily buried, but he definitely was Nefarian.
And what do we even know about the Nefar? I asked aloud. That they just vanished at some point in this world's history?
Not vanished,
the scout shook his head.
They were largely killed by the Erovian dynasty.
Killed? I echoed with confusion. Erovian dynasty? Who were they?
They were the previous Dark Elf Empire, the scout replied. But they're not around anymore. The Empire eventually reformed itself as the Holy Ascendancy of Elagos, which is the name of the current Dark Elf Empire.
How do you even know that?
Sierra asked with a scathing tone.
And what the hell is your name anyway?
My name is Hux. Well, actually Huxley,
the elf quickly replied, flinching under Sierra's tone.
And I know that because I'm a huge lore guy. While Graves was busy prying open the king's sarcophagus, I was busy translating the inscriptions that were carved into the walls.
You can do that?
Halcyon couldn't help but exclaim.
Sure. There's a skill called linguistics that helps you do it.
Huxley confirmed with a nod, visibly looking more confident after seeing Halcyon's interest in what he was saying.
But to answer your other question, the Nefar used to be a major power in this area. Their kingdom ranged all the way from Iberia straight up to another coastal city somewhere in the north. From what I could decipher, there should actually be one of their cities in and around this area, assuming it still stands after all this time.
Likely it stood where Crater Lake is now. Comprehension flowed through me as I realized that whatever conflict there was between the Nefar and the last Dark Elf Empire must have resulted in the large crater to the north. I'm more interested in hearing about this king that was buried in the tomb and how long ago this all happened. I traded a guarded look with Sierra and Constantine, hoping that they wouldn't say anything about Crater Lake.
Well, the second part of that may be hard to answer. One of the inscriptions in the tomb dated the king's death as happening in the year 983, but how that translates in game time, I don't know. We would probably have to ask someone in the Dark Elf Empire about that,
Huxley answered.
As for the king, he was apparently killed at the very beginning of whatever war there was between his kingdom and the Dark Elf Empire.
Does this king at least have a name?
Drace chimed in, no longer content to just listen to the conversation.
Yeah,
Huxley nodded.
His full name and title was Slave King Abdiel, and based on what I understand, he was a very powerful mage, or warlock. The translation uses both of those words interchangeably.
Well, that explains more about Graves' motivation,
Freya said bitterly, as murmurs of agreement echoed from the assembled crowd of adventurers.
Yeah, Drace nodded at Freya in agreement. And because the orcs and goblins have a soft spot for everything Nefarian, you think Graves might have used his quest to sway them to helping him?
I do,
Huxley affirmed.
But I don't think Graves is entirely in control of his actions. He hasn't been quite the same since we came back from the tomb.
We know, I told the scout, my eyes watching him as I spoke. During your tomb-robbing session, Graves managed to somehow wake that king's ghost in the process, which promptly latched onto him.
It did?
Huxley seemed taken aback.
I knew he was acting differently, but I couldn't completely tell how.
The room fell quiet for a moment as I continued to stare at the elf. Everyone seemed to have difficulty in accepting that Graves may have not completely been in control of his actions.
Why are you telling us all this? I asked after a while. You barely said two words yesterday until Constantine threatened to drown you in shit. Why the sudden change of heart?
I was afraid Graves was going to come back,
Huxley admitted shamefully.
I figured it was only a matter of time until he regrouped and tried for Aldford again. I didn't want him learning that I'd spoken in case he took it out on me after. And truthfully, I hated being with him.
Why did you stay then?
Freya practically shouted.
You're a scout and you were fed. You could have easily snuck away.
You think so?
Huxley stared back at Freya while shaking his head.
I was watched every moment I was with the other scouts. They are all firmly in Graves' corner. If I tried to escape, the five of them would have easily tracked me down and killed me.
It would have been better than doing nothing,
Freya hissed.
Maybe it would have, and I'm sorry I didn't at least try.
Huxley looked towards all the adventurers with a sad expression.
I was afraid. All I wanted to do was survive. I'm hoping to start helping now.
What do you want? I asked, looking at the elf, sensing the subtle undertone to his voice.
Amnesty,
Huxley quickly answered,
protection from Graves until he's dead and his quest foiled. After that, I can leave and find my own path if you really don't want me here. I'd understand if you didn't.
At Huxley's words, many of the other adventurers called out in disbelief.
After what he did, no fucking way we should be trusting him.
Lyrian.
Thorn looked a bit concerned as he looked over his shoulder to a handful of angry adventurers.
Quiet!
My voice boomed over the noise, halting the protests cold.
Settle the fuck down or go outside. This isn't a group negotiation. If he has useful information to offer, we would all be idiots not to listen.
The grumbling continued for a few minutes, but no one seemed to be willing to challenge my statement.
What about the other prisoners? I asked Huxley after everyone had quieted down.
Don't care, the elf shrugged. If you want my recommendation, hang him.
We may very well end up doing that, I replied to the cheers of a few in the crowd.
Okay. Say we give you amnesty. What do you have to offer in return?
The room quickly quieted as everyone focused on the elven scout. Looking right at me, a small smile crossed Huxley's face.
Graves is still in my group.
My eyes widened.
I can lead you right to him.
Chapter 41. Tuesday, February 12th, 2047, 7:54 a.m., far east of Oldford. The faint rays of the morning sun poked through the thick foliage of the forest as our group made its way east under the cover of trees. After hearing Cyril's story yesterday, we didn't want to take the risk of walking out in the open as we searched for the lost adventurers and Graves.
How are you guys doing? I asked for the first time since leaving Oldford an hour ago, turning to look at both Huxley and Cyril following me nearby. Party sense is still okay?
Yeah,
Cyril nodded, pointing straight ahead.
Still a long way to go, though.
Same here.
Huxley replied, pointing in the same direction as Cyril.
Good, I said cheerfully, happy that we had some redundancy between Cyril and Huxley. Right now their party sense pointed in roughly the same direction. However, if the kidnapped adventurers were moved over the course of the day, or if Graves decided to go hunting himself, we would quickly be able to adjust, and if necessary, split the group to go after both. Plus, I liked having Cyril with us to help verify where Huxley led us. I didn't completely trust the elf scout, and likely wouldn't until I physically saw Graves with my own eyes. The old expression, trust but verify, came to mind with regards to Huxley. I was willing to believe the bare bones of his story, and the insight that he shared with us regarding the lore of the world seemed to be sincere, but it would take time, along with a hell of a lot of work on his part to fully cleanse himself of his association with Graves. Unfortunately, though, with the impending forced logout time coming up tomorrow morning for me and the rest of my friends, we didn't have the luxury to casually scout out where Graves and the kidnapped adventurers had hidden themselves, which was why we were out scouting in force, and the reason I dedicated nearly the entire day to training Freya and her party yesterday. We needed their help to hit Graves, and if need be, the goblins, hard enough to keep them from threatening Oldford while we had our downtime. With any luck, we would be able to permanently take care of both Graves and the goblins, giving us some much-needed time to regroup before the next crisis reared its head and more adventurers started to spread out into our region.
It'd be nice to have a week or so just to relax and build.
I rapped the side of a tree with my knuckles as I walked past it, hoping I hadn't jinxed myself. I could spend 3 or 4 days doing nothing but crafting. My thoughts were interrupted as Constantine appeared out of the woods ahead of us.
Nothing to report, Lear, Constantine said quickly. I just checked in with Sierra, Mir, and Thorn. We have quite a few creatures in and about the wood ahead, but nothing over level 5. We're making good time overall.
Good, I replied with a nod as Freya stepped closer to join our conversation.
Everyone holding up well? She asked, looking at Constantine.
Yeah, they're doing great. Constantine waved a hand in reassurance. Thorns and Mir's stealth skills are great, and they naturally have sharp eyes. I actually wouldn't be surprised if they unlocked their base classes today.
That's great.
But that also makes me feel a little bit jealous, Freya replied happily, sounding relieved. I still need to work on weapon skills.
Don't we all?
Abaddon croaked from behind us.
Hopefully we'll get plenty of practice today.
Hopefully. I could hear the smile in Drace's voice behind me. You think everything'll be okay in Aldford today? Constantine asked with a slightly concerned tone. With us gone, along with Freya's group and Natasha, we only have Aldwyn, Donovan, Shelia, and Jenkins to mind the village in case things go bad. I do, I replied confidently. Honestly, I didn't expect all the other adventurers to integrate so easily into Aldford. But with how driven everyone was yesterday to join us, and how protective they are to have a place they can rest, I think they'll keep it safe while we're gone.
They will, Freya said matter-of-factly. Everyone saw the benefits of being among the first to help settle a new city when we reached Coldscar. Now that they have a chance to do the same thing for themselves in Aldford, they don't want to lose it.
Not to mention the safety Aldford provides,
Helix added.
Many are truly happy to finally be out from Graves' rule and appreciate the help you gave everyone to get them back on their feet.
That too,
Freya agreed cheerfully.
I heard a few adventurers talking about starting a farm to the west of Aldford, Drace chimed in. Quite a few of the villagers seemed on board to help out.
Really? Well, I guess that does make me feel better, Constantine admitted, looking back to nod at Drace before turning to me. Say, Lear, have you heard from Amaranth today?
Not yet. I shook my head, checking to see if my familiar was still out of range of our mental link. He's getting closer, though.
Okay, let me know when he really gets close. I can go warn Thorn and Mir so they aren't surprised when they see him.
Constantine replied with a nod, poking his thumb backwards.
Gonna go check on Natasha at the rear. I'll be back.
Sounds good. I nodded at the rogue as he started to make his way to the back of our group.
Why would they be surprised when they see him?
Freya asked with confusion.
You said he's a puma?
Well, I started to explain before trailing off with a smile. You'll see.
I have brought you a gift.
Amaranth's mental voice was tinged with pride as he quickly closed in on us.
A gift? I sent back with surprise, not expecting to hear that my familiar was bringing me something. What is it?
Amaranth didn't reply back as he approached, and before long I began catching glimpses of his azure fur in between the trees ahead of us.
There's something in his mouth?
Trotting with barely a care in the world, Amaranth emerged from the bushes and into clear sight, carrying a dead goblin in his mouth.
I have caught one of the dirty ones,
the cat declared happily as it dropped the goblin a short distance in front of me. The bigger the cat, the bigger the, gift. I was momentarily taken aback by the prize that Amaranth had dropped by my feet.
Oh!
Freya and the rest of the thunder lizards let out a gasp as they saw Amaranth emerge from the woods.
Wow.
Hey! I patted Amaranth as he nuzzled his head into me in greeting. You caught a goblin!
I did!
Amaranth leaned into my hand as I scratched him behind the ear.
He was far too focused on watching the flames and did not pay enough attention to his surroundings.
Was there just one? I asked the cat while moving to look at the goblin.
Yes,
Amaranth quickly replied.
I found signs of others in the forest yesterday. However, the storm has washed away their scent and tracks since.
Where did you find this one? The goblin was dressed in simple, if crude, leathers and furs, much better equipped than the goblin raiders I'd fought in Aldford last week. Turning the goblin over, I noted that it had been killed by a single powerful bite to the head, and judging by the rather fresh smell of offal recently. I definitely remember how those teeth felt like. After a moment of inspecting the goblin, I didn't find anything else of interest, the creature beginning to dissolve as I stood up.
A fair distance sunward, east.
Amaranth quickly corrected himself, slowly getting the hang of using compass directions.
I spotted this one, hiding in wait upon my return.
Lyrian, that's Amaranth?
Freya asked, her voice breathless.
He's huge. And the blue,
I heard Thea's voice exclaim with excitement, quickly followed by a faint whisper.
He looks so soft.
Oh, right. I blushed, realizing how bizarre it must have looked to welcome a blue-furred 700-pound puma with a hug, then proceed to inspect its kill while talking to it out loud. Yes, everyone, this is Amaranth. Once again, I underwent the surreal experience of introducing the newest members of our group to my familiar, explaining the nature of our mental link to one another. Everyone greeted the big cat with a bit of reservation, intimidated by Amaranth's rather large size. Everyone except for Thea, who hugged Amaranth hard enough to make him squeak.
Oof!
Amaranth winced over our mental link as Thea let go of him.
This is your familiar?
Huxley managed to stutter as he shrank away from the big puma.
I didn't know.
You've brought one of the inept hunters that tried to raid our den.
Amaranth flicked an ear at me as he focused his gaze on Huxley.
Why?
He believes he can lead us to the man who led the raid, I told Amaranth as I began to fill him in on everything that had passed since he was gone. A short glance at Huxley told me that his entire attention was focused on Amaranth. With any luck, we'll be able to put an end to him today.
I do not trust him,
Amaranth stated as he broke into a wide yawn, showing Huxley his wicked teeth.
I will watch him closely.
I don't either, I told the cat truthfully while motioning for all of us to start walking again. Anyway, tell me about yesterday. Did you get caught in the storm?
I did,
Amaranth sent back as he started to walk beside me.
When I left yesterday, I took a wide path through the forest, following the scent of the fleeing raiders. At first, their flight was wild and without direction, each running along their own path. However, after a while, they regrouped and proceeded to travel eastwards. They traveled quite a distance through the woods, further than where we are now, before settling for rest.
Amaranth explained to me slowly.
As I followed their path, I began to smell the dirty ones that had traveled through the forest long before them. This is the furthest I have traveled from the ridge, so I am not certain, but I believe the raiders had unknowingly crossed into goblin territory.
The raiders may be working with the goblins now, I told my familiar, going on to explain everything that had happened to Cyril and the kidnapped adventurers.
Are they?
A wave of confusion flowed from Amaranth as he spoke.
Before the sky broke yesterday, and I was forced to take shelter, I scented spilled blood belonging to both the raiders and the goblins, along with signs of battle where the raiders stopped to rest.
Really? I sent back with surprise. Can you take us there?
It is not far,
Amaranth replied, trotting forward ahead of me.
We already moved towards it.
Amaranth says that he found signs of the goblins fighting with Graves and the rest of his followers, I told the others who were still getting used to Amaranth. I don't know how much of it survived the storm yesterday, but it's on the way anyway.
Really?
Freya said, casting a doubting look at Cyril.
I wonder what happened.
What did he say about the goblins, Lear?
Halcyon asked from behind me.
You know we can't hear you two when you do that mental link thing between one another.
Oh, right. I rapped my head with my knuckles once again, silently looking forward to having some downtime tomorrow to recuperate. I really need a break. I'm starting to make silly mistakes. Amaranth said that he found the goblin on the way back to us today, and that it was busy watching the plains when he snuck up on it.
You think they're expecting more of us to walk that way? Serol asked.
I don't know, I replied with an honest shrug. Maybe you guys surprised them and they're keeping an eye out now. Or maybe they've always had an eye out and we finally wandered far enough to trip over them.
They must have a place somewhere out here if they're posting pickets in the wood, Dre said thoughtfully. We can get away without them since the area around Aldford is reasonably clear of trees, and we have decent visibility all around us, except for the forest on the east side. If they've settled somewhere in